Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, we continue our Wednesday night series, Walking in Freedom, Breaking Strongholds. And today's series is part six of this series. So enjoy and prepare your hearts for an encouraging and uplifting message from God. Be blessed.
And the anchor scripture that I've been using for this series, again, I want to go back and read those scriptures. It's Mark 10, 36 through 38. I'm sorry, Acts 10, 36 through 38, and Mark 16, verses 15 through 17. So first, Acts chapter 10, verses 36 through 38. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all, that word you know, that word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and then began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Let's all read that together. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Why was Jesus able to do what he did? Because God was with him. Because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, the very power and essence of God Almighty. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 17, and it says, and he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. We've been talking about walking in freedom, breaking strongholds, overcoming the power of Satan that comes against us. And in many cases, afflicts people, even the people of God. And as I thought about how to close out this series, there were several ways I could have gone with it. But what I really felt like, I wanted to share something with you that I think you can walk out of here with, and it's something you can act upon. Something that you can personally apply to your life right now. So I'm going to speak to you tonight about cleaning house. Come on, Pastor. Cleaning house. And by house, I'm referring to two things, or two houses. The first house is your physical body that your spirit lives in. Sometimes we need to have this house purged. We need to let the Lord clean this house. We need to let the Lord just rid us of things that, as believers, open doors for these spirits of darkness to torment us. Now, in just a moment, I'm gonna kind of talk a little bit about the extent that I believe a Christian can be afflicted by an evil spirit, and I personally do not believe that a Christian, a born-again child of God, can be possessed. We'll get into that in just a little bit, okay? But we can be tormented. We can be afflicted. And that torment happens when we allow doors to be opened in our lives that give access for spirits of darkness to come and harass us. And if you remember, I told you that the evil spirits are like, they're like cockroaches. They trespass. They don't want to be invited in. They force themselves upon you. But I believe there has to be some opening that we allow. Paul, remember one of the scriptures we talked about a couple weeks ago, where Paul said that we're to pull down strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we're going to talk about the need to cleanse your physical body, or the physical body that your spirit lives in, as well as the need to cleanse the physical home that you and your family dwell in. It's very important, church, that we pay close attention to both. That we guard what we allow into our soulish realm. But it's also important that we guard what we allow into our homes, the house that we live in, because we're in an ongoing battle. Satan looked for ways to enter into our dwelling places to either possess it or to torment us. If you are a non-believer, he will look for a way to possess you. If you are a believer, he will look for ways to oppress you, ways to torment you. So we must be careful of what we allow to come into our homes. You must be careful of what you watch on television. You must be careful of what you listen to on the radio, what you look at on your computer, and also very careful of who you allow into your home, what you allow them to do in your home, and what you allow them to say in your home. Because all of these things can open a door for an evil to come in and harass you. You must set the boundaries of your home. You must establish those boundaries. And you must force other people to respect those boundaries. Because some people just don't know. Some people think it's okay. Even family members who may not live with you may visit you and may want to do something that you do not allow in your home. And you need to be willing to say, you know what, that's really not something that we allow here. And stand firm on that, because you don't want those doors open. It's important that we understand how people are affected by evil spirits. And again, in the Christian realm, in Christendom, most believe there are forces of evil come to torment or hinder our walk with Jesus in some way. Most Christians believe that. Now, very few churches teach that because there is some fear of the unknown. There's also, I am convinced, the concern of being seen as a cuckoo. It's being seen as weird. And I get that. I used to think the same way until I encountered someone who had a devil. That'll change what you think. That'll change what you believe. When you're face to face with this evil, and you know that this is something that's undeniable. And then when I begin to understand, again, that about, if we go back and look, about one third of the ministry of Jesus was combating evil. A lot of the miracles that he performed was healing people who were oppressed by the devil. So it's important that we understand that evil forces come to hinder our walk with Jesus. Most believe that, but where there's a vast difference is to what extent can a Christian be tormented or afflicted by evil. Again, Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And the key word I want to pull out from this verse is the word oppressed. Oppressed. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. There are two ways that evil spirits torment man. One way is through oppression. The other is through possession. And there's a difference in being possessed and being oppressed. And I would dare say, I believe that most people that we come across are not possessed. They are oppressed. They need some type of inner healing to take place in their emotional, in the emotional seat of who they are. Remember we talked about one of the things that the enemy uses is what we call spiritual or soulless wounding, the wounding of the soul. Things that people encountered most often as a little child that brings about a wounding. It could be abandonment. It could be rejection. It could be fear. It could be abuse. Something that wounds to soul tends to create an opening. And that opening allows for evil to oppress that person. But there are those whom we encounter who need to be delivered from an evil presence because they are possessed. God, in the 30-some years I've been in ministry, it's been that many years? Wow, I guess it has been. Man, I'm older than I thought. Man, 30-some years. I can truly say I only know of two people I came across that I knew was demon-possessed. Two. The rest of the people that I've encountered were oppressed. But it matters not if you are oppressed or possessed. You need to be free of the enemy. Amen. You don't want him messing with your stuff. Amen? So what's the difference than me in being demon-possessed and demon-oppressed? In layman's term, possessed means to be exercised by a demon or to have a demon connected to and controlling your spirit. And again, a good example is the man who had the legion of demons. Okay, he was totally possessed. But to be oppressed means to be subjected to intense opposition. To be subjected to intense opposition. It means to be in a situation where evil exercises some sense of rule or authority over you by manipulating or by controlling certain aspects of your soul. And by your soul, I mean your mind, your will, or your emotions. To be oppressed means to exercise dominion against. This is what most believers deal with. Oppression. Having the spirits of darkness come and try to exercise control over you. They try to exercise authority over you, which they, again, Jesus stripped Satan of his authority. But he will still try to exercise it over you by manipulating you or by controlling you. And this takes place in your soulish realm, your mind, your will, or your emotions. And again, what we learned about Jesus is that he not only healed the oppressed, but he also delivered the possessed. And we must be willing to do both as well. There are some people we come across who will need to be delivered, just like in the days of Jesus. There are many people we come across who simply need to be healed. And we need to understand what the differences are and how to go about ministering to those people. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. This description, I'm gonna speak from just a few moments, and then we're going to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. Very familiar scripture. Jesus said, and Luke writes, and he, Jesus, was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So this was most likely a possession. This person had a demon that possessed them to the point to where it caused this person to be mute, okay? So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they would be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, He goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and take with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Sobering, sobering thought. I want to share with you a commentary written by Pastor Jack Hayford as he expounds upon the scripture that we just read from Luke. And he talks about the subject of the Christian and demonization. Pastor Jack writes, exorcism is the act of casting out a demon from a person in the name of Jesus. This text indicates it is possible for an unbeliever to be occupied by one or more demons. Through true repentance and an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit, that person can be delivered from demonic bondage. Having been swept and put in order, he must receive Jesus Christ or face the possibility of greater demonic bondage. Once, however, an individual receives Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit makes his abode within. The person's spirit, having been made alive through rebirth, then becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, who will not dwell with evil. Once possessed by the Holy Spirit, a Christian cannot be possessed in his spirit by a demon. Most of you believe that. I believe that, okay? However, there's a but. However, the Greek verb that was translated possessed may also be translated to be demonized. This can and does happen to believers when their soul, their mind, their will, or their emotions is demonically harassed in many ways and with varying degrees of torment. Such attacks from demons happen because of various reasons, and some of those reasons are intensified, wearying personal trials. Satan comes to wear you out. He comes to battle you. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Therefore, you must be able to find a place of rest in Christ. Number two. Evil comes in when we allow ourselves to be deceived. Deception is strong. And we must stand firm in the things of God and not be deceived. These spirits comes in when someone allows himself to be broken down by the lies of the enemy. Jesus said he is the father of lies. And one of the most difficult things to do is to know when the enemy is lying to you and you not receive his lies as being your thoughts or the truth. Does that make sense? He will speak things to you that are, it may sound true because it may look like what you see. But if it does not line up with the word of God, then don't receive it. Amen. Okay, just don't receive it. Satan takes advantage of people when they're the repeated engagement in sinful activities. That is why, again, you have got to keep your life free of sin. He looks for that avenue. And also, as we shared, sometimes Satan comes in through doors that are opened by ancestors. But as children of God, we're to heal believers who are oppressed, just like Jesus did. And we're also to cast out demons in those who are unbelievers, as Jesus did. Before we pray, I want to take just a few more minutes and just talk about what Jesus said in Luke 11. And the first thing I want to point out is Jesus' declaration that there are two kingdoms at war. Listen, you must know that you're in a battle. There is a battle that is raging. There are two kingdoms at war, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. There is a fight. And if you're in God's kingdom, you're in this fight whether you want to be in it or not. There's a war to take. There's a battle that goes on. And talking about this kingdom, Jesus said in verse 20, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. The finger of God is a figure of speech for the power of God. That Acts 10 said that Jesus walked in. How was Jesus able to do what he did? By the finger of God. Sometimes Jesus would walk into places and demons would scream out, we know who you are. Have you come to torment us before our time? They recognized. They knew Jesus. And as I shared last week from Acts, I think it was chapter 19, do they know who you are? Come on, remember the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast this demon out of this man? The demon said, Jesus, we know. Paul, I know. But who are you? So number one, you better know Jesus if you're going to do this work. And you better know who you are in Jesus. And you better believe in the power of God that is in you. Because these things are real and they do not like you. They want to torment your life and make your life a living hell. But you got to know you have authority. You have got to know you have authority over evil. You have authority over. You have authority given to you by Jesus himself. Jesus said, go in my power and use my name to set people free. Go in my power, use my name. You have authority. Some of you have just as much, if not more authority than I do. Because maybe you believe a little bit stronger than I do in God's ability to use you in that area. One thing that the Lord, I believe in this end time, is really, really trying to do in the church is undo the mindset of the professional clergy doing the work of the ministry. You are all ministers of reconciliation. Every single one of you. If you are a born-again child of God, you are a minister of reconciliation. You are a minister of the gospel. And Paul said that people like me, our job is to equip you so you can do the work of the ministry. So every chance I get, I want to turn you loose. I want to stir you up. I want to see you step out and allow God to use you. I don't want this to be a church that you can come into and just hear a sermon and worship and feel good and go out there and feel like you have, okay, you've done your duty. No. I want you to be equipped. I want you to believe that God wants to use you. Amen. You see, I can't go on your job with you. There are people that God's called you to reach that I can't get to. But you've got to believe in the God that's in you. That's in you. And I can see the wheels turning. Some of you in your mind, you're disqualifying yourself. You're letting the enemy disqualify you. You listen to his lies. He's telling you reason why you can't do it. He may be telling you about something that you did or something that you're doing. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, listen, you are qualified. God's given you authority. Walk in the power and the authority of God. If you got sin in your life, get it out. Okay? Get it out. I'm not telling you that's okay. You have authority. The evil that comes against you, you do not have to give in to. These forces are part of the kingdom that is ruled by Satan. And we must stand in the power of God to oppose that kingdom and see people freed from his grip. Jesus said in verses 21 through 23, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. What is the Lord saying here? He's basically saying, Satan may be strong, but I'm stronger. Satan may be strong, but I'm stronger. And he is telling us that he's taken from Satan all of his armor that he trusted in. He who is on my side can walk in God's power and do what I did. That is what Jesus is saying. He who is on my side can walk in God's power and do what I did. We, the body of Christ, can heal the oppressed as well as deliver the possessed. Amen. Why? Because the same Holy Ghost that was in Jesus is in us. Come on, Pastor. The same power of God that flowed out of him flows out of you. We're talking about cleaning house. Because it's time for the church to clean houses of their houses of Satan's presence. Starting with our own home. It's time to clean up and keep clean the earthly dwelling place of our spirit man, as well as the natural home we live in. And Jesus said, listen, when you clean house, this is what's going to happen, okay? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. Finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came out of. This lets us know that a spirit wants a place of rest. It wants a place to call home. Listen, if you let a spirit stay around long enough, he'll get very familiar with you. Yeah. Not only that, but you'll also get very familiar with it. And it will make you feel like that what it is manipulating you to do is the right thing to do. My word to you is do not let that place that a spirit wants to rest in be your home. Do not believe Satan lies. Do not be fooled by his deception. Or do not through sin open doors to evil, but kick the devil out and keep him out. Because, one, your body is the temple of God. And two, your home should be an altar to the Lord. Your body is a temple of God. And your home should be an altar that you have set up for the Lord. Amen. A place of worship. A place of reverence. A place that welcomes in the Spirit of God. Verse 25, Jesus said, when he comes back, when the Spirit comes back to the place he came from, he finds it swept and put in order. And again, what Jesus teaches here, that steps must be taken to rid evil spirits of any sense of ownership or the right to be there. Okay? What Jesus is saying is, you must take away from any spirit that wants to torment you any sense of the right to be there or a sense to own or occupy a certain place even in your thought realm. And because they seek out places of familiarity, you want to make your home as unfamiliar to evil as possible. As unfamiliar as possible. As they wander through in the dry places looking for rest and finding none, you want to make your home as undesirable to evil as you possibly can. Because these spirits first seek to go back to where they came from, you must not only clean your houses, but you must also fill your houses with God. Amen. That is how you create an unfamiliar space for evil. You fill it up with that which is holy. Amen. You fill up your natural temple with that which is holy, with that which is of God. You fill your mind with worship. You fill your mind with words of God. You meditate on the word of God. You think on the word of God. You let the word of God come out of your mouth. You speak life and not death. You want to create as much of a holiness that surrounds you as possible. Because when you do, listen, evil wants no part of that. Amen. Wants no part of that. But if you are talking this talk, if you're walking this walk, if you're doing what it is familiar with, guess what? It's going to feel right at home with you. The same goes for your home. Fill your home with things of God. I try to go through my house at least once every 3 months and just pray through it, anointing with oil. We've got oil we're going to give each one of you guys tonight if you want some. It's instructions on how to pray through your home. But it's very important that you clean your house. And I can remember, at times, and just again, to show you how you can get familiar with that which is evil and not even be aware of what you're doing or how these things work. I can remember being at my house and just feeling like, man, something doesn't feel right. I need to just go and pray through my house. But then I put it off. Then maybe a week or two later, man, something doesn't feel right here. I need to go and clean out my house. But then I put it off. Kind of like the Egyptians and the frogs, right? When do you want the frogs gone? Tomorrow? No, I want them gone right now. We do the same thing with evil. If the Lord is prompting you to pray through your house, do it right then. Amen. Because the more you allow that evil to stay, the more familiar you will become with it, and it will just feel like it's just a part of your surrounding. Come on, Beth. And you do not want that to be a part of your surrounding. You want to cleanse your surroundings, and you want to fill it up with the things of God. The vacuum that is left by the departure of evil must be filled up with God, or else that home becomes open to even worse demonic activity. That's why, remember what Jesus said? He goes and take with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So when evil goes in any capacity, you want to replace that with things of God. You want to fill yourself up with God. You want to fill your home up with God. Fill your car with things of God. You want to create that environment for your children to grow up in so they know what is right. But if they grow up around evil, then that becomes what's right to them. The believer who has set the, who's been set free of the of a demonic stronghold, we must be sure that we've cleaned up our place so that we do not return to that place of bondage from which God has delivered us from. If we allow ourselves to return to any bondage that we've come out of, it becomes worse. You know, I can remember my life. I'll give you one example. I just used smoking. From the time I was 15 years old until I was about 26, 27, I smoked. And I smoked, then I stopped. Then I make myself smoke again. That was crazy. I made myself smoke. I did. My body would reject it. My body would shake and shiver. But I don't know why. I made myself do it. Until my body's okay, you want this? Now I'm going to make you do it. But what I found was each time I entered into that, it became harder to come out of it. Each time I allowed that habit to take hold of me, it took more strength and more ability to break it than it did the time before. It's time to clean our houses. And it's time to keep them clean. We must fill them up with the things of God.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.